News Radio 690 KTSM presents the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. And by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management, by Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Good morning. Welcome to the El Paso History Radio Show, now live on KTSM AM 690 and in El Paso, streaming live on our Facebook page, El Paso History TV. Also streaming live on the Facebook page, Remember in El Paso When. And this is the place where we say Texas history begins in El Paso. Welcome back, Melissa.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Glad to be back. It's nice and cold. So we're all set for Christmas, aren't you?
Oh, I think so. I'm much not going to get set. Anyway, you can find us on where else? iHeart.
Well,
the old technology.
The old technology. Now we're jumping into the 22nd century, I think. What we've got to do is go over to ktsmradio.com, where you can stream us live anywhere in the world. And you can also do this by going to the iHeartRadio link, and you can find us on KTSM there also.
I had a lot of things going on here. You can get a $25 Pepe's Mexican Food gift certificate for only $20. That's the Christmas deal they've got this year. And send that as a Christmas gift.
Yeah. And also for the holiday season, Mission Del Rey will be open on Saturdays with weekly $20 radio show coupons online for online orders to go. And that's history is the code on that. And that's missiondelrey.com. Or give them a call at 915-440-2140.
And also, you have a history moment coming up.
Yeah, kind of an interesting one that kind of popped up. It was World War One, or just after World War One. El Paso had an Army blimp corps stationed here.
Oh, interesting stuff there.
Yeah.
We've been all, as a way station, El Paso's had a lot going on here.
Oh, yeah.
With the air world, and that'll be some of it. All right, today we have the history times two. As we feature the two Texas State Historic Sites in El Paso County. In hour one, we explain Waco Tanks, a natural wonder full of rock art, history, and remarkable places to climb and picnic. And in hour two, our topic is the McGoffin Home, which is an architectural gem built by a multicultural family that helped build El Paso. So now, in hour one, we are going to welcome Dr. David Carmichael, anthropology dude. Hey, David, how are you?
Fine, and you guys?
We're doing great.
We're surviving so far to get to this point. I've asked Melissa to explain some of your credentials, so are you ready for this? Here it comes.
Oh, he's a very important man. Dr. Carmichael has 40-plus years of professional experience in archaeology, cultural resources management, applied cultural anthropology, including projects in 12 states throughout the western U.S., with emphasis on the Southwest. Much of his archaeological research has focused on prehistoric and Apache land use and patterns in the El Paso area, including an intensive survey of the New Mexico portions of the Fort Bliss Maneuver areas and Dona Ana Range. That's a lot of stuff there.
A lot going on there, David. Welcome here. And you now are still, you're still with UTEP, correct?
Correct.
And so you've been doing a lot of teaching from home, I guess, these days?
Most of it, well, all of it since mid-November.
Oh, my.
I had one class that was meeting once a week on campus before that, but, yeah.
Closed down again, huh?
Well, that's the way that goes.
Trying to stay safe and keep all the students safe, of course. And
well, the thing is, we have...
Most important thing.
Today, our history business is all about Waco Tanks in this hour. I appreciate you joining us, because you're the guy I look to nowadays for history of places that are cultural like that. That's what we want to talk about today. The cultural history of Waco Tanks. And let's just start with a definition. Waco is a hollow place in Spanish, right?
Right.
And that's about the water that retains there in those hollow places. That's a big deal?
Well, that was one of the most important aspects of the natural phenomena at Waco Tanks. It was, you know, prior to 1910, with the deep well technology being introduced in the area, those Wacos were the only water source between the Pecos River and El Paso.
And so that made it a stopping point. Stagecoaches, Native Americans, you name it, they stopped there.
Sure.
Well, let's talk about the culture there, because I think that's an interesting thing. It's not just a set of rocks that are igneous and et cetera. We'll ask you about that in a minute. But basically, the culture there goes back thousands and thousands of years. Humans have always liked that place.
Yeah, so far, the earliest evidence that we have for Waco tanks being used by prehistoric populations goes back about 10,500 years to what people refer to as Folsom culture or Folsom times. We have at least four or five projectile points, spear points, that are fluted Folsom points that have been discovered in and they've been concentrated in the area right in the middle, in between all the three mountains. And it suggests to some of us that the reason that they're there, the reason that the way that the park was being used at that time was driving bison into the interior part as a trap.
Well, you know,
they were probably dispatched there at the right where Mescalero Canyon cuts through between North Mountain and East Mountain.
Well, we have a clip I'd like to play about that. It's actually from the documentary we did called El Paso's Waco Tanks. Andrew, if you're ready in there, we've got the clip there about Waco Tanks, the bison. You got that one ready? Hit that one, David Carmichael.
The earliest inhabitants of Waco Tanks were probably the Folsom people, who lived about 10,000 years ago. Folsom spear points have been found there. It's thought they used the area's natural features to catch game.
Seems likely that what was happening is that Folsom people were driving bison into that interior part and trapping them for hunting, what we would call a surround or a trap. That's a pretty common approach for Folsom people throughout the Southwest. We see that in a number of places. And the interior part of Waco Tanks makes an ideal location for that.
And I tell you, David, we had a lot of fun putting that documentary together. Some things have changed on that. That was you, of course, talking to us about on that video, El Paso's Waco Tanks. I want to bring that up because we did that as a commercial event, but now it's free. I put that on YouTube. Anybody can go see that video. And I watched it this morning just to get a background for today's discussion. And we covered quite a bit of stuff in there, and it's now available on youtube.com/El Paso History TV. If anybody wants to go learn the details about Waco Tanks, which haven't really changed that much since the documentary, but that's now online if people want to go see that. And you're right about the idea. Tell us about how there were bison around here. I didn't really understand that until I interviewed you about this documentary.
Yeah, well, bison, in the end of the Ice Age anyway, the bison extended further south than El Paso a little bit, let's say down into Chihuahua, and a little bit further west, maybe halfway through Arizona or something like that. But we're pretty much at the southwestern corner of the distribution of bison during the Pleistocene. And they would have moved mostly north and south along the, on the plains, north east of the Rocky Mountains was the primary habitat.
How far back are you talking? That's the Archaic period or since then?
Well, no, Folsom times, 10,000 years ago.
Yeah, okay.
And we know that those animals were around even before that, probably even before humans were in the New World, back maybe 25, 30,000 years ago.
So we're talking about Waco Tanks in East El Paso County, and it is one of the Texas State Historic Sites that we have, but we have two of them. McGoffin, second hour, we'll talk about that other one. But the fact that it's a state historic site, what significance does that really bring to us here?
Well, for one thing, a lot of people in El Paso complain that we don't get our fair share of attention. We don't get our fair share of, fair treatment by folks in Austin. They don't recognize that we're as close to San Diego as we are to Austin. We're kind of isolated out there. But El Paso has more than its fair share of really outstanding archaeology, and Waco Tanks is a good example of that. Now, it doesn't have a particularly extensive a group of sites from the Folsom times. I know of at least one out there, but it's not known for that primarily. It's known, of course, for the paintings.
Well,
those are much later in time.
And the paintings, they were not so much. There's some archaic paintings out there, aren't there?
Yeah, what we think are archaic. it's kind of hard to tell. They haven't been dated that far back. With the dates don't go that far back. The dates on the paint don't go to the archaic times. But the style of the painting seems to fit with archaic style that's known throughout the West.
Well, we have one more clip, actually, frankly, on about Waco tanks I'd like to play now. And it is basically about what we call rock art. And you came and told me this week that Native Americans think that's not necessarily the best way to characterize it. But we do call it that, being looking at it from a distance. It looks like rock art on the wall to me. But let's talk about this with a clip that we have also from the documentary El Paso's Waco Tanks.
Waco Tanks is El Paso's largest and oldest art gallery. Okay. And this stuff is local. We don't have any evidence even suggesting that people came up from Mexico and painted this. No, this is local. This stuff is ours.
The thing is about this rock art, you said the Native Americans also have it more of a more spiritual nature. They would prefer not to call it rock art.
Yeah, that's a sort of current discussion that's going on right now. And I think most Native people would prefer to talk in terms of these being rock images, or possibly the spiritual essence of the rock being revealed to the viewers. But that has a different purpose, a different function than what we think of as artwork. It's not entertainment. It's not. It's mostly dealing with presenting history, or presenting the cosmos, the spiritual realm, and those kinds of things are considered those kinds of topics, and the places where they're invoked are considered to be sacred places.
Well, there's a whole bunch of faces, and some people have called them masks, and other people think that they're portraits. What are your thoughts on that? Because this is like the largest collection of these, if you call them masks, the largest collection of masks, rock art or spiritual art, anywhere in the Southwest. Am I correct on that?
I think so, yeah. There's over 200 of these face images. I think that I'm not sure that masks are really what I would call them. I used to work for the Hopi tribe, and they actually still maintain, not claim, but they recognize that they have an affiliation with Waco Tanks. And they've recognized some of those images as being indicating kachinas that they still paint and they still dance. And when I've talked to my Hopi contacts, what they tell me about a place like Waco Tanks is that those are the images that the spirits of the rock are revealing to us.
Oh, that
and
makes
they
sense.
Allow us to interact with them in that way. So I would lean towards the spiritual, revelational kind of interpretation of those images.
Well, weren't the Hopis the original people that came up with the kachinas?
The Hopi ancestors. So let's put it that
way.
Yeah,
the Hopi ancestors. Yeah.
Yeah. So it would be the Anasazi. In the old literature, would be called Anasazi. More recently, people would say Hisatsunam, the ancient ones, or ancestral Pueblo groups.
And we're talking
where the Kachinas. The Kachina phenomenon is a southwestern phenomenon, not a Mesoamerican one. So it gelled in this region, and I think it's widely accepted that some of the images at Waco Tanks are probably part of that phenomenon. But to say that the Hopis per se were the source of that would be overly simplifying it. The Hopis, as they are constituted today, represent bits and pieces of people who migrated from all different parts of the Southwest and became Hopi when they arrived at their current location.
Yeah.
Well, in that clip we played with Dr. Mark Thompson, and he was director of the Museum of Archaeology at the time, he suggested not only was it the biggest art gallery in El Paso, but it also was done by people from here. Those figures don't connect directly to a lot of other places very easily. It's like its original El Paso rock art, if you'll pardon me.
Right.
Okay. Well, I find that an interesting thing because, as you mentioned, rock art is all over the place, but this stuff seems to have been El Paso people.
Yeah, there's actually different ages of rock art out there, and I would say when we talk about it being local, we're referring mostly to the Mugione stuff. The makes up the majority of the rock art at Waco Tanks is attributed to the Mugione peoples or the Mugione period, a formative period, let's say, from, say, the time of Christ up until the 1300s or so. Earlier than that, when we talk about archaic, the archaic cultures had much more similarity over a broader range of the Southwest. So that's, you know, the stylistic patterns that we see that are attributed to the archaic peoples would be shared over a wide area, just not even here, but beyond the Southwest. That's not the case. By the time you get to the formative or the ceramic producing period, then you see regionalization occur. And so the iconic elements of what we call Jornada rock art would be things like the goggle-eyed figures. Those have a fairly circumscribed distribution that ranges basically maybe as far north as Carrizozo and as far south as maybe Candelaria in Chihuahua, but it's a fairly constrained distribution, and it's not shared with areas like northern New Mexico. It's not shared with areas like central Mexico. It is our own regional phenomenon.
I understand there's maybe as many as 3,000 figures out there.
Could be. I don't know.
You haven't counted?
I've never counted them.
Dr. David Carmichael has never counted all of them. David, we got to take a break here and come back and do some more of this. But in the meantime, if people want to get a hold of us, they can call us or message us on Facebook.
Well, yeah, they can message us on Facebook. But I also wanted to know that we're actually showing pictures on the live stream on the topic we're talking about right now. So you can see pictures of Waco Tanks and the drawings and such. So tune into that and you can be active in the show even more so. But you can also go to the El Paso History Radio Show page, or you can also go and call us at 915-544-5876, 915-544-KTSM.
Many retired El Paso area homeowners don't know where to begin when it comes to downsizing and selling their home. Patrick Tuttle and his Legacy Home Team follow a proven process to help retired homeowners sell faster and for more money. Call Patrick Tuttle at 915-588-1850 today and get your home sold faster and for more money. That's Patrick Tuttle at 915-588-1850. Call him today.
You know where you were when the Golden State Killer was arrested. You're a moderator on the Zodiac Killer subreddit. But now you're in search of a new challenge. Enter Solve, the hit podcast that puts you at the center of the investigation. Solve is like no other murder mystery podcast. You'll track down killers hiding in plain sight.
You all right?
Yeah, it's just disturbing. Have you ever seen anything like this before?
Not like this.
To listen to Solve, download the free iHeartRadio app or listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Boom or bust. Bull or bear. High or dry. Tough times aren't anything new, but we've gotten through them before and we'll do it again. COVID put us all in a bad spot, but we've got to get back to work. The whole state depends on us. We have a job to do, and getting tested means getting back to work faster. Get started at togethernm.org/jobtodo.
When it comes to your business, there's a lot of things you know and a few things you want to learn more about fast. If you're looking for an easy and affordable way to get smarter about what your customers are thinking, you need to check out Research Raccoon. Just tell the Research Raccoons whatever your business question is. Maybe it's about a new menu item for a restaurant. Maybe it's finding out what your audience really thinks about your business name. Maybe you don't even know what questions you're supposed to be asking. Let the Research Raccoons know what's on your mind, and they'll poll potential U.S.-based customers that day, giving you clean data you can use to make smarter business decisions for less than you'd think. No matter the size of your business, Research Raccoon gives you the tools to learn at an affordable price. So discover what your business should be doing and move with confidence with Research Raccoon. Visit ResearchRaccoon.com to learn more and discover which plan is best for you. ResearchRaccoon.com. Fast results with big data.
What are you doing to keep your nose clean? After all, the nose is your body's air filter, the first line of defense against airborne diseases. I'm Martin Hoke, and I invented Navage, the powered suction nose cleaner. Navage cleans your nose by flushing out allergens, mucus, dust, and germs, including dangerous infectious germs. So with all the horrible stuff in the air, now's the perfect time to join more than a million Americans who use Navage. It has over 30,000 online reviews averaging 4.7 stars. Why? Because Navage is easy to use. It's inexpensive, all-natural, drug-free, and safe, and most important, it works. Think about it. You wash your hands every day. Maybe it's time to clean your nose, too. Breathe better, sleep deeper, feel and be healthier. Online at Navage.com and at Target, CVS, Walgreens, Bed Bath, and Rite Aid. Navage, N-A-V-A-G-E. Clean nose, healthy life.
News Radio 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
You can send us an email if you wish while we're on the air here, and you can go to ephistory690@gmail.com. We are the El Paso History Radio Show on Facebook, and you can go there for our weekly promo announcements of the topics each week. And also, we have a TV channel now. We'll be putting this streaming on eventually on YouTube. Right now, we're streaming on Facebook, several pages. And the YouTube channel is youtube.com/El Paso History TV. And that's where you can find that free documentary I mentioned earlier, the documentary that we did on El Paso Waco tanks, I guess, 10, 12 years ago. It's still a good video. It's relevant. It's still good. I looked at it this morning, and it's a very interesting, informative piece about a major history place in Texas, and it happens to be in El Paso County.
Well, aren't some of the sites off-limits now to some of the people going up there that you have on film also?
And we also show them the rangers talking about people used to hike right and climb right here. It's now off-limits, yeah. And they've taken quite a few.
I went there years ago.
Out of service.
Before they did that, and I was crawling under rocks looking at them. It was amazing.
Well, so. Back in the day, in the 70s, I believe, before they really got clamped down on the cultural saving program, they had 150,000 people a year going through that park.
Oh, I know.
And people were trampling on everything. And so that has changed quite a bit. But that's free. Go to youtube.com/El Paso. We have our ABC 7 series from El Paso History TV on there with Bernie. We put that on 20 segments. And the documentaries are there as well. And recent subscribers, we had Newton Oynum and Gerardo Quintero. And I'm not sure who they are, but they've joined us on that Facebook page. What do you got?
Well, I just want to, again, it's Christmas time, and we want to talk about MissionDelRay.com with their souvenirs. They've got some great things, El Paso souvenirs. They've got just blankets, decorations, all kinds of great things. You can buy Christmas decorations, send them off to your friends back east. And Mission Del Rey will be open 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday and Saturdays through December 31st. Closed on New Year's Day and I'm sure Christmas. But Mission Del Rey has the weekly $20 radio show giveaway for the first five listeners each week who use the coupon code during checkout, which is history. They can redeem that and get an extra additional $20 in their shopping, and it must be a $20 minimum purchase. Cannot be combined with the other offers, of course, so definitely use that term, that code history. And if you have questions, you want to go to the store, give them a call at 915-440-2140. They're just off of Lee Trevino and Pelicano.
We got a lot of people looking at us on the Facebook page. We've got history. Rick Melendres is looking at us. Julio Lamello, Woody Webb, Bernard Moy, and a bunch of people. They're just saying, hey, good to see you out here. And we are actually having a good time talking about Texas's two state historic sites. Andrew, do you have anybody coming up on any other pages? Not yet. All right. Dr. David, we got you here. This is a short segment, David. We're going to take another break pretty quick here. But the idea of Waco Tanks, how did you first get involved in Waco Tanks? Did you know it as a kid? You're not originally grew up here, but when you showed up, what did you think about it when you first figured out what it was? Andrew, where's David?
Introduced to it in a fairly roundabout way, because my interest was not in rock art at the beginning, but was in holy sites, sacred sites. And it was mentioned to me as one of the sacred sites that I should go see. And so the content of the art is what attracts most people when they first encounter those kinds of sites. But I was actually doing work for the military, and one of the things you have to take into account is places that are important to Native populations, and that's how I heard about it.
Well, it is a very important site. How would you rate this site in terms of world history? I think this ranks up there as something incredibly important.
Well, I think it certainly could be a World Heritage Site. I know that there's been some effort to try to get it listed. I don't believe it has been yet, but it could be and should be. It's certainly as significant as many of the sites in Europe.
Oh yeah,
that have that status.
We're talking about Waco Tanks in East El Paso County. Fabulous area. It's about 1 mile by 2 miles, and that's the extent of it. When we come back, David, we can talk maybe about the geology a bit, because as you look at this from the air, which I've shot at different times at airplanes and drones and God knows what else I was in, but we shot this from the air, and it's just kind of like a bunch of bumps out in the middle of the flat desert, and you wonder, how did they get there? We'll talk about that in a minute. Call us up if you need to,
544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Monterey Asset Management is proud to sponsor the El Paso History Show. If you're tired of the ups and downs of the stock market, maybe you should invest in real estate. Monterey Asset manages apartments in El Paso and helps investors buy, hold, and sell properties. To learn more about the many benefits and long-term appreciation of investing in real estate, call Certified Property Manager Ray Baca at 915-592-4549. Call Monterey Asset Management to discuss your personal financial needs at 592-4549.
From UFOs to government conspiracies, the world is full of the stuff they don't want you to know.
Here's where it gets crazy.
If you found a GPS device on your vehicle, would you remove it or would you just leave it there?
No, you put it on another vehicle. That's obvious.
Each episode dives deep into the world's strangest topics, from hidden history to the bleeding edges of science and beyond. Listen to Stuff They Don't Want You to Know on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't like shark movies? Change the channel.
Monster under the bed? Turn the lights on.
Worried about the flu? Get a flu shot. Especially with COVID-19 still spreading. A flu shot is the most effective way to reduce your chance of getting sick. And a flu shot will not give you the flu. So get the flu shot. Not the flu. Find your nearest shot location at texasflu.org. Every dose matters. From the Texas Department of State Health Services.
Now more than ever, nothing is more important than your health. For more than 30 years, Wellman has been here for you, providing safe, convenient access to compassionate care, developing new and innovative ways to connect with our communities. Wellman Cares. Our mission is to help you be well and stay well. The Medicare annual enrollment period is from October 15 through December 7. Remember to choose a health plan that puts you with a WellMed doctor. Visit WellMedFindADoctor.com.
One-on-One with Susan Eisen.
I was born in El Paso, and it's always been my home. Get to know us. We'll be your most trusted resource for buying jewelry and for all your jewelry needs.
When it comes to a jeweler you can trust, visit SusanEisen.com. One-on-One with Susan Eisen.
It takes me hundreds of hours each year for my continuing education on grading and pricing diamonds, and our focus is on providing value for you.
When it comes to the best diamond advice, visit SusanEisen.com.
You know what's not healthy? Stressing about work. Or maybe you're out of work. Stop. Hit reset. You can start a new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months from the comfort of your own home, even if you have zero computer experience. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. Live online classes meet just twice a week. Financial aid, including the GI Bill, is available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
Carolers, that's the holiday spirit. Speaking of which, Simply Safe Home Security is having a huge holiday sale. Right now, you can get 40% off a new system and a free camera at simplysafe.com/holiday. That's 40% off the system U.S. News named the best of 2020. Simply Safe protects your whole home 24/7 with monitoring by professionals. The sale ends soon, so go to simplysafe.com/holiday for 40% off and a free camera today.
News Radio 690, KTSM El Paso.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
And we're on 690 AM plus streaming on Facebook if you want to take a look at us. We're here. Whatever good that might do you. But also, the reason we do this, it gets the good radio audio out there on Facebook. Some people have a hard time with the application on KTSMradio.com. So this is a clean way to get this across the planet really easily. I want to let you know about Patrick Tuttle Legacy. Get a hold of him if you need real estate issues in El Paso. He does rentals as well. He'll either rent your home or rent it to you. 588-1850, Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate. He knows what he's doing. And so give him a holler, 588-1850. And you have a Concordia thing.
Yeah, tomorrow, Sunday the 6th, approximately 300 holiday wreaths for veterans buried at Concordia Cemetery will be placed at the grave sites. This project is a partnership between the Combat Veterans Motorcycle Association, Chapter 23-2, and Concordia Heritage Association. And this is in the spirit of the Combat Veterans Motorcycle Association motto of Vets Helping Vets. And if you have a chance to stop by the cemetery tomorrow or during the week or any time during the holidays, you know, to pay your respects to those that gave their life for our country and our freedom. And there's veterans from wars from, geez, I think the oldest one is like 1812, who actually fought in 1812, but moved here later on. But it's fascinating how many people we've got out there.
There's a lot of folks out there. And it's an interesting world here we have in El Paso. A lot of history, ancient stuff, and plus you just referred to wars and people that are buried around here. Mm-hmm. But the thing about, we're talking Waco Tanks with Dr. David Carmichael. David, I want to ask you something about the geology there. As I mentioned, from the air, I presume you've flown it a few times, have you?
I've been over there, yeah. Every time you go east to Texas, somewhere in Texas, you fly over it.
Well, you make sure you get a window seat. On that side,
I
did it. Actually, some of the video that I put in the documentary actually shot out of a commercial airliner as I was flying to Washington a couple of times. Managed to hit it just right, so I put that in the documentary. But the point is, you see all these little bumps on a very flat desert, and around the edges of that flat desert are huge mountains. And these are little bumps in the middle. What is that geology?
Well, it's real interesting. We have we're part of the Rio Grande Rift Valley, so there's fault block mountain ranges up and down the area that go north-south, and that's what you're seeing, the large mountains. The Waco Mountains are fault block where limestone has been faulted and pushed up. In between there, you have basins that are where the blocks have fallen down, and then they fill in with sediment. And Waco Tanks is sitting, it's been kind of sticking up in one of those basins in the southern Waco Bolson, and the geology of it is different than the surrounding mountains. It's what's called a syenite porphyry, which is a kind of granite that has, it's kind of soft and crumbly and has harder pieces in it, but it was magma, you know, molten magma about 34 million years ago. and it formed in a dome and was pushed up underneath that limestone, never made it all the way to the surface, and it so it cooled in this sort of dome or uplift shape. And then with erosion and weathering, tore away the limestone and shaped the syenite into the three different humps that you see now.
I think it's an interesting construction, so to speak, by nature. And it's fascinating that what happens is the reason that people have stopped there forever. There's no natural springs there, as I understand it. But
right.
it collects whatever rainwater shows up, kind of stays down, seeped into the rocks. And if you're good at this, you can know where to find it. If you're really thirsty, you will find it. And that's how travelers and Native Americans for centuries have gone through there as an oasis. Did I sum that up about right?
Yeah, and of course, there were animals and plants that grew there and or lived there that weren't widely available throughout the rest of the desert, too, because of the water supply.
Well, we should talk about some animals and plants that are there only when it rains. And in the Wacos, that are dry Wacos until the rain comes, the rain shows up, and within about a day and a half, all of a sudden, you have little species of shrimps living in there. Can you talk about that for a minute?
That's not my area of research, but Liz Walsh in the UTEP biology department has worked out there a lot, and it's really interesting stuff. They're rotifers. The shrimp are actually rotifers, and they feed on algae. But when there's no water in those Wacos, they're dormant, and they could be dormant for a long time. Apparently, they actually recovered an egg from one of the Wacos out there, and they, in order to get it to hatch, they had to produce conditions of the late ice age for it to hatch.
Wow. Well, and I remember we put
in a long time.
We put Dr. Walsh on the documentary as well, and she talked about how there's some shrimps, like four different species of shrimp there, and they're native, a couple of them only to Waco tanks, like that. So Waco tanks is unusual in so many ways, and the art that's on the walls there, I want to go back and mention about that for a minute. You have pictographs and petroglyphs, and the distinction,
right.
I have to always think about that.
Yeah.
Petro means
which is which, yeah.
Petro means rock. So they chip.
Right,
those
would be etched into the rock.
They chipped it in, yeah. And picto means...
And there's relatively few of those, actually, at Waco tanks. That's the most common kind of rock art around the Southwest, but there's only a few sites in Waco tanks. Most are the pictographs with the painted ones.
Now, where'd they get the paint?
Well, the paints are primarily mineral paint, and there's various, not necessarily locally, but around the region, there's various different mountain sources, so... You got kaolin clay would be the white paint. Something like an iron ore like manganese would be red paint maybe. Limonite might be yellow paint, and if you heat it up, it turns red. So you mix the paints that way. Probably the rarest color is going to be the blues and the greens, and those come from copper minerals.
Oh.
So they're finding these all over and then bringing them to the park to actually produce the paints.
Interesting stuff out there. You have animal figures. You got the masks or faces, as we discussed. And then there's some stuff. I'm not sure what it is. But, if you're thinking spiritually, you'll draw on a rock, I suppose. But the idea of Waco tanks is amazing. We've got a picture up now. We've been running it on the same time we're streaming of the starry-eyed man. That was one of the most unusual spiritual paintings at Waco Tank. What do you think of that one?
Well, that's one of the ones that my Hopi friends have told me is actually a ghost kachina that they still paint.
Oh.
And they still dance. When I worked there, I didn't see that one. I saw lots of kachina dances every week during this kachina period. I mean, the kachina time of the year. But I never saw that one, so I just rely on what they're telling me.
Also, we can take one more break and come back, and let's wrap up with what kind of tribes, current tribes, date back and claim Waco Tanks as part of their heritage. There's a lot of Indian tribes that think that that's their place. Interesting stuff there. Dr. David Carmichael on the air here with us. And put a comment on Facebook. We've got L. Bush. Who else do you have on
there?
Oh,
my gosh. I've got people. We've actually got two listeners that are in France.
Oh.
Wait, one in France and one in Ethiopia.
Hey, y'all.
Yeah, howdy. Koulibaly Moussa from France.
Yeah, bonjour.
Mekonnen Yaragal, and she lives in Ethiopia. And we've got, Angie, and Shelley Sutherland is listening.
Angie Salazar in Colorado.
No, Angie Salazar, but Sutherland, she's also our former call screener and producer. And Western Readers and Writers Associations following us. Luz Macias, David Leon, Paco Gomez de la Fuente.
I mentioned L. Bush.
Yes.
Is looking at us on
L. Bush.
There.
A lot of our regulars, Vince Sanchez commented about camping out at Waco Tanks back in the 60s.
You know, you can still camp out there. Dude. They do have 20 campsites and toilets and electricity and everything.
But it gets booked up real quick.
And I think they may or may not be open at this time. All right. Take another break here. Call us if you need to. Otherwise, put a notice on Facebook, El Paso History Radio Show, and we're streaming all over the place. And we thanks to Barbara Given Bainey for putting us on her page out there, Remember El Paso Win.
And the El Paso History Alliance.
The Alliance has it now. Yep. And also our thanks to the man in the control room, Andrew J. Polk,
Yay.
Who is engineering all of this because he splits the breaks. We do the regular radio breaks. He has another set of breaks that run on the Facebook feed because if you put music on the Facebook feed, they get mad.
This is all new stuff.
Well, we're getting used to this. It's getting better. And Andrew, thank you for knowing what you're doing. He
thank
does gosh. This Monday through Friday here in the same studio on Talk El Paso. So listen to him Monday through Friday. Talk El Paso. Talk Radio is back in El Paso Monday through Friday with Andrew J. Polk. So, all right, we'll be back in just a moment.
El Paso History TV is now available for free on YouTube.com. Take a look at recent ABC 7 news reports by Bernie Sargent on El Paso History TV about Waco Tanks, the Franklin Mountains, Concordia Cemetery, and more. The YouTube channel also has more than 100 videos about El Paso history with lectures, documentaries, and various history clips. Go to YouTube.com/El Paso History TV and find out how Texas history begins in El Paso.
Your health can't wait. Doctors say now more than ever is the time to guard your heart health.
I'm Dr. Mohammed Talib, a cardiologist with El Paso Heart. We know COVID-19 can attack the heart, damaging your heart muscle and causing blood clots. Do not ignore your symptoms. We are here to answer your questions and help protect your heart. Do not delay. Your safe care is our priority. To make an appointment, call 1-855-93-HEART. Again, that's 1-855-93-HEART.
Your business is getting back to business, but things are a little different than 6 months ago. What does that mean for your customers? And when things are constantly changing, how do you know you're making the right decisions? What you need is Research Raccoon. Research Raccoon is the easy way to learn about your customers, and it's affordable for businesses of all sizes. Here's how it works. Ask a question, and Research Raccoon polls a U.S.-based group of people to find out what they think. No having to define an audience or waiting weeks for results, just data to make smarter decisions. Think of it like a gut check for your plan to re-enter the market. That way, your first move is your best move. So before you reopen your store, reach out to your customers, or introduce yourself to a new audience, talk to Research Raccoon and get data you can use for less than you'd think. Visit ResearchRaccoon.com to learn more and discover which plan is best for you. ResearchRaccoon.com. A little gut check for your big ideas.
Struggling with CPAP? Now there's Inspire, the only FDA-approved obstructive sleep apnea treatment that works inside the body to treat the root cause of sleep apnea with just the click of a button. No mask, no hose, just sleep. Visit InspireSleep.com to learn more.
Safeguard against germs this cold and flu season. Safeguard hand soap with micellar deep cleansing washes away 99% of germs, even down to the pores, leaving hands clean and hydrated. Safeguard against germs by hand washing with Safeguard.
You know where you were when the Golden State Killer was arrested. You're a moderator on the Zodiac Killer subreddit. But now you're in search of a new challenge. Enter Solve, the hit podcast that puts you at the center of the investigation. Solve is like no other murder mystery podcast. You'll track down killers hiding in plain sight.
You all right?
Yeah, it's just disturbing. Have you ever seen anything like this before?
Not like this.
To listen to Solve, download the free iHeartRadio app or listen wherever you get your podcasts.
El Paso's News Radio, 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We'll take the rest of this hour and talk about Waco Tanks. Next hour, we'll talk about McGoffin Home. And if you want to get a hold of them to look at a tour, I think they're still having tours. We'll find out when they show up on the radio. But they're basically open down there, I believe, for tours. And you can ring them up, 533-5147. And talk about getting a reservation for a spot down there.
Yeah.
And do you have something to talk about people on looking at us here?
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say, we have other people. We've, like I said, we've got different organizations. We have, I don't know if I mentioned them before, Luis Macias, David Leon, L. Bush. He was very surprised we mentioned her name. We did it again.
There it is.
We're
famous
keep
now.
And we got a lot of great people. We've got people from Dallas listening. We've got, that's Michael Potter. I think you mentioned him. It's just, I'm looking at so many people that are can't keep track of them all. This is great.
Well, we've gone worldwide with this stuff. It was on streaming audio all along for like the last 10 years. But now you put it on Facebook, it's like, oh, wow. And should we just say hello to everybody on Facebook?
Hello.
Wait, no, over here.
Good morning, everyone.
Hey. But as it goes,
wake up.
We got Dr. David Carmichael here. David, there's a number of Native Americans who have traditionally claimed Waco Tanks as part of their heritage. I think that's one way to put it. And also, some of them, I know that I've heard them say it, that they have burials out there. How big a deal is that? Because to me, that was one of the major things I learned about why the area seemed to be sacred. And you're telling me the rocks themselves were sacred, but I sort of thought it was because they had, it was a burials out there. What do you think?
Well, there's been, as far as we know, there's only been one site much excavated there. It was excavated in the 1970s, and it produced, you know, a handful of burials, maybe five, four, something like that. Those were from the Mogollon tradition. We don't know who the people were, who the tribes were that far back, but it is generally accepted that the Mogollon tradition is the ancestors of today's Pueblo people all over the Southwest. So that's some concern, but that's not necessarily the reason that the overall park is sacred. And the tribes that have, what should we say, expressed recent contemporary concern or interest in the park include the Tiguas and the Mescalero Apaches and the Kiowas. Even the Hopis still recognize some ancestry from that region. And the reason that I think a lot of tribes feel so strongly about Waco Tanks is because it's a place of power. It's a place where spiritual power or spiritual essence is either obtained or it's required when you interact with the space, with the place. The way this was explained to me once was if you think about Through the Looking Glass, Alice in Wonderland.
Right.
Alice goes through the mirror to access the other dimension. And that's the way many Native people view parts of the landscape. So when you go underneath the rocks or into a cave at Waco Tanks, you're going into the earth or under the earth, and you're at the same time making a spiritual journey to the other dimension, the spirit dimension. And that's the important dimension. So that's a portal into a place of reverence and a place of healing and a place of enhanced understanding.
Okay, I can go there. But I can't go there. Without a guide, you can't go to most of these places in Waco Tanks, right?
Right.
There's
another aspect to that journey. Many of these rock art sites, both at Waco and elsewhere throughout the Southwest, are associated with medicinal or psychotropic plants.
Oh.
And so those plants would be part of the process of a sacred journey or part of the process of treating a patient who's been diagnosed, you know, but with help from the other dimension. And we even see at some places in Waco where their native tobacco plant or datura still growing out there in direct association with the rock art.
Tobacco was a big deal to the Indians, different from what, you know, a pack of Marlboros was easy to get at the Circle K.
It was ceremonial.
But back in the day, that was a big deal for Native Americans, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it was stronger than what we have today.
Ah, like pell-mells. Okay, I get it. Anyway.
Non-filter, yeah.
Yeah, non-filter. To the point of Wekotanks being a place where Native tribes claim it, there is an area called, I believe, Mescalero Canyon. You mentioned something like Comanche Canyon, and also the Tiguas, their symbol for Speaking Rock is the same thing as this rock, some of the rock art out there. Talk about that for a moment.
Yeah, the names that we apply to these places today are kind of unfortunate.
Oh.
You know, once a name gets into the literature, it's stuck. And these names were named, they were sort of picked out of the air. Mescalero Canyon actually is an okay name, but the site Comanche Cave, we don't have any evidence that the Comanches used it. We have evidence that the Mescaleros used it.
Wow, okay.
And we have evidence that the Tiguas used it.
Okay, that's kind of like Aztec Cave in the Franklin Mountains. There were no Aztecs there, but somebody named it that.
Right.
I get it. Okay.
Right.
But the thing is, those tribes still, I know the Tiguas still go out there and have ceremonies and do reverent things that we're not supposed to know about.
Sure. Well, the Kiowas were there very briefly in 1839. But they still return occasionally to visit the site because knowing about the past is a sacred endeavor, and it roots you to your past. It demonstrates who you are. So that's why people, even if they're not living in the area, they'll come and visit or have pilgrimages to the site. Mescaleros were using the site probably between maybe the 1750s and up until about 1900, and then they didn't use the site much until maybe 1980 something.
We got back into it.
In that interim there, from 1900 onward to the present, it's been primarily Tiguas using that site.
Well, David Carmichael,
so it's important to multiple groups.
Oh yeah, I know it is. And the people rock climbing, the people who do picnicking, that's all still going on with some clarity put on by the park people. You can't just go do anything anymore. David Carmichael, I want to thank you for being with us today. Can you come back again and talk about other Native areas someday?
Sure.
Okay.
Give me a ring.
Well, I will do that. In the meantime, thank you for joining us here, Dr. David Carmichael.
Yeah,
if you want to take a real cool anthropology course, talk to Dr. David at UTEP, right? Fair enough?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks
absolutely.
A lot. All right, Dave, we'll see you again. Next hour, we're going to talk about the other Texas State Historic Site, and that is the McGoffin Home. Check us out after the news. We'll be here. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. There's another hour to go, so please stay tuned. This hour is brought to you by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. And by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. We'll be right back after the news, right here on News Radio 690, KTSM, El Paso.